Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. Then we try to figure out which one is a lie. Am I right, Jessica?
You're right, as always.
Okay, please introduce our guests.
I'm so excited for today. We have this young lady. She's a comedian. You may have seen her on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. She had a reoccurring role as Beth on the CW series Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. This is Emma Willman.
Welcome to the show, Emma.
What's going on? Thank you guys for having me. These Skype call-in things are so, I feel like I'm really, it's not flattering, I feel. You guys look great, but I'm just kind of like, I'm stressed.
Oh no, it's all good. All right, because as soon as the background goes away, you'll see I have laundry over here in the chair, so we're all
right
good.
On.
Jessica, and our next guest?
Yes, this is a legendary mixed martial artist. He was the UFC lightweight champion in 2000. Need to fight
heavyweight.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. You're a big guy. this is Tito Ortiz.
Welcome to the show.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on the show.
Welcome to
the show. Thank you.
We just want to give a shout out to Mama Bird, the comedian. Hello. Welcome to the show. So let's just jump right into it. So, Tito, your first story.
Last night, I got a direct message on my Instagram. This guy's saying, you know, I thought we were supposed to get this money from the government and this and that. And he's like, oh, man, I'm sweating it. This is the hardest thing in the world. I don't know how I'm going to feed my kids. And I said, you know what? Are you having that much problems? I mean, you're going to have problems to hold down for the next 2 weeks. He's like, yeah, I'm actually going to have some problems. So I was like, well, you know what? I'll go out of my way. I'm sponsored by a water company, Citizen Waters out of Costa Mesa, California. And they give me all the water I want. I'm sponsored by a meat company, Route 66, and they give me all the meat that I want. And, of course, I always carry extra food and so forth. And since I've been locked down now for the last week, I've gone to the store a couple times to purchase stuff. And I went out of my way and just kind of paid it forward. And I told this guy that you meet me close to my home, I'll give you the address. And I'll give you a case of 20 water and some meat. And some fish that I caught, because I'm a big fisherman. And anybody watches our sees my Instagram, I'm a big fisherman. I gave him some fish, and I gave him some meat from Route 66. So I just kind of paid it forward and gave him a bunch of food. And he came down from, actually, what was it, Santa Clara. So he had a long drive, about an hour and a half drive from there to here, Huntington Beach. And I paid it forward. I gave him some food and some water. So he was very thankful. He got fish from me, of course, and some steaks, and he's going to have a good dinner tonight and a good dinner hopefully for the next week and a half while we're sitting here bats down at home. So
yeah,
it sounds like a UFC Bible story.
Right? I think he's just being a good Samaritan, right? Paying it forward.
Yeah, no, if he's lying, if this is the lie, this is an interesting strategy, and I don't know. Yeah, I need to hear more. You drove how far? You had to drive, what, a couple hours to bring in the food?
No, he actually drove to me. I gave him an address.
Yeah, I guess that's fair, right? I mean, you're ponying up all the meats. You should drive to get it at least.
So you gave a stranger your address?
Damn. I did not give him.
I guess if I were you and you could fight anybody, you could give people your address. It doesn't matter.
No, he came close to my home, actually at a bar by my house that's closed.
Uh-huh. What's the name of the bar?
Harbor Rack House.
What kind of fishing were you doing? What kind of fish was it?
It was actually yellowfin tuna that we caught in December.
Ooh.
That's quite the gift, and it's very specific. That feels believable.
What kind of car did he have?
He actually was driving in a white Tahoe, Ford Tahoe, and he had his kid with him also.
Okay.
Can I tell you guys, as a fat kid, right? People love the ice cream truck, but I always got excited because we had this truck that would come around that had all these meats, and I would just holler to my dad, like, the meat truck's here, Dan.
Yeah.
It's a story that unlocks Jessica for all. All right. So, Emma, why don't you go ahead and start your story?
Okay. So when I was in I grew up in really, really rural Maine, and I was always obsessed with entertainment. And I really wanted, I didn't know what I wanted to do, but I thought I wanted to be in the music industry. And the only person I knew who was in entertainment was this guy who was like a sound engineer at a recording studio in Boston. So I was trying to get a hold of him, couldn't get through. So I called him and I said, I was calling him back. I said, I got to call him back. So the secretary put the call through, and then once he got on, I was like, hey, I really want to work in the music industry. I'll do anything. Can I just be your intern? I'll work for free. So he had me come in and work for free. He was probably pretty disappointed just hearing a girl's voice on the phone say that, he was probably pretty disappointed when I showed up. But he had me go get, like, I'd get blunt wrappers for him and ice cream sandwiches. And the big thing that happened there was Bobby Brown grew up in Foxborough, Mass, and he used to come into the studio, and he took all of the, this is when I was in high school, I'm 34 now. So he took all of the DVDs from Blockbuster, and it was my job to go to Blockbuster and explain, either pay them or tell them what happened. And I was such like a country bumpkin at the time. I was like, I don't think we should have to pay for this. Bobby Brown took these. This wasn't, you know, wasn't our fault. And I just remember the person at Blockbuster being like, what? And I was like, yeah, Bobby Brown came in the studio. He actually spit on the wall. I had to clean it up myself and probably make it in show business, you know. And they were like, get out of here, and made me pay for all these DVDs. And I thought that was like fucked up. They made us pay for them for like years.
Yeah. How many DVDs was it?
It was over five.
Okay.
And do you know, Bobby Brown comes to the Comedy Store quite a bit.
Really?
He does. He looks. Oh, really,
so I never met him. He just came. I just had to return. I just had to return the DVDs. I didn't know I didn't even know he lived in L.A.
Well, I don't know if he lives here, but he's here often enough to come to the Comedy Store.
What was the name of the label?
Waltz Audio.
Waltz Audio?
It was a recording studio, yeah. Real. I mean, the claim to fame was that Bobby Brown would come in sometimes. I don't think Bobby Brown even recorded there.
What type of videos were you getting at the video store? You said you had to pick up videos? That was the
deal? I had to go in and explain that Bobby Brown took the videos. So I don't even know what they were. I just know that he took them, and I had to go in and they wanted me to tell them, either pay for them and tell them what happened and see if we could get out of it, which did not happen because I'm sure they thought I was making it up.
Yeah.
And late fees are fucking brutal, man. It's like a parking ticket.
Late fees?
And did you pay cash, or did you have his credit card, or like how?
No, so I had to go back to the recording studio and tell the guy. I was like, hey, they didn't believe that Bobby Brown took them. We still have to pay for them. And I think he went back and handled it.
Uh-huh. So, but
what year was this? What year was this?
Oh, man. Okay, so I was in eighth grade. No, I was going into high school, and I'm 34 now. So
20 years ago?
Yeah. Your guess is as good as mine.
15, right?
Kenny has thumbs down.
I realize how sketchy this all sounds as I'm
cutting. Yeah, so does Mama Bird. Mama Bird says no way that this sounds like a lie. So you got to meet Bobby Brown in person?
No. I didn't get to meet him, no.
Have you ever met Bobby Brown?
No, I was going to ask her, like, something she could tell me about Bobby Brown. You know how when you meet famous people, there's, like, one thing, like, oh, I would have never thought that. And I was going to ask her if she had any thoughts in that direction.
I remember I asked the guy who owned the place. I was like, what was Bobby Brown like? And he said, besides him spitting on the wall one time, he came in once and he was, like, really mad at Whitney. And he was like, I'm going to cement her feet to the floor if she keeps acting like this.
Wow. Very old timey for a hip hop artist.
Yeah, very old time. He's so classic.
Yeah.
You're a big fat liar.
Cement shoes.
Yeah, Bobby Brown.
That's pretty crazy. All right.
Bobby Brown.
Any questions? Anybody want to ask any more questions before we? I think Kenny has a question too.
I think this is someone else's story.
You
honestly
do? Yeah, mm-hmm. I think so too.
I think it's someone else's story. That's why I think it's a lie.
Yeah. All right.
My mom had a friend in Boston, so my mom came up and stayed with me for the, like, 3 weeks or whatever that I interned there.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And then I interned there again when I was in high school, and then I interned there again in college.
So they were having you run for
Man, you guys don't believe me at all. I've seen these faces before.
So they're sending you for blunt wraps and Twinkies and shit before you could drive? You were going on runs like that?
Yeah.
And what, and your mom really drove you down to a music studio at the age of 13?
We stayed at my mom's friend's house and she would drive me to the, in Boston, it's, the subway's called the T. She'd drive me to the T station and I would go in, do my little internship, and then I would go back and then she'd pick me up at the subway station.
All right.
Yeah, Waltz Audio sounds like a place that sells TV antennas and coax cables and shit.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move it back to Tito and get to your second story.
August of this last year, we're in Las Vegas. And of course, I go to Vegas all the time. And I'm with my girlfriend. And we're at some bar downtown Las Vegas. And that was at the Palms Hotel. Not Palms as in Palm, but the Palms Hotel. And we're having cocktails at the center bar. And some guy bumps on my girl, kind of like rubs her ass, but not grabs, literally with his hand, touches her ass.
Oh, shit.
And she turns around. She's like, excuse you. He goes, what do you mean, excuse you? I didn't do anything. And started walking away again. And I go, hey, you going to say excuse you? He's like, no, why would I say excuse me? I didn't even do anything. I just saw you rub off on her ass, dude. And he's like, no, I never rubbed up on her ass. I go, yeah, you did. So what the fuck are you going to do? And I looked, I thought I was getting punked by Ashton or something. I looked to one side, I looked to the other. I go, are you serious right now? Yeah. He's like, what the fuck are you going to do? What do you think I'm going to do? And he stepped forward. As soon as he stepped forward, I could not resist myself. Usually I have security around me. I mean, I had not much, but just a little. And I literally had to punch the guy. I didn't punch him in the face. I've always known to punch a guy in the face because he'd leave a mark and go to jail. I hit him right in the solar plex, red dead in the middle. Talk about watching a guy fold like a sack of bricks. Hit the ground. Security came over. They kind of circled around us. And one of the security grabbed me and pulled me away. He's like, what happened? I go, that dude grabbed my chick's ass, dude. And he pulled him to the side. When he pulled him to the side, they picked that guy up, took him out of the hotel, and let him go. Cops came up to me, asked me what happened, what went on. I go, he grabbed her ass. And I went to grab him and try to punch me. And before he punched me, I punched him back before he could hit me. And I dropped him to his ass, knocked the wind out of him. Escalated, completely was gone, it was done. I didn't go to jail, I was very thankful. I was like, damn, I almost went to jail, but I didn't. The cop was cool. They let me go, but cops in Vegas, I've known for a long time, going there since I've been 21. And of course, I fought there about 15 times, being a main event. So I kind of get a little leeway here and there when I go to Vegas, and this is one of the times.
Isn't it true, though, like, since you're a trained fighter, like, if you were to hurt that guy, like, you could get manslaughter or
assault with a deadly weapon.
Yeah.
So
that's why I go right to the solar plex. Solar plex punch drops guys at will. I don't give a shit how big you are, you're getting dropped.
Isn't that how Houdini died though?
Houdini.
No, he was suffocated, right? Suffocated or held underwater.
I thought he got punched in the gut.
No.
He was at some speakeasy, touch a girl's ass.
Yeah, dude.
Wow, okay. I mean,
that guy was brave. I mean, I still believe how brave the guy was by even just saying, what the fuck are you going to do? I'm like, what do you mean what I'm going to do? As soon as he stepped forward, it was in my personal space, and I was defending myself.
Did you get the feeling like he didn't know who you were?
Exactly.
That's why I looked side to side, like, is this really happening right now? And when I looked my left and looked my right, and my girlfriend, like, just kind of gave him the yeah, and that's when I like turned back at him. I was like, what? And he stepped for me, and I was like,
even if you don't know who you are, you look like the kind of guy who might put someone on their ass anyway. So it's like,
well, I mean, the guy was pretty, I mean, he was almost my size also, so I think he thought had a little, you know, liquid courage.
Yeah, how big
so
was he? Believed
it. Yeah, he was 6'3", at least, because he were eye to eye.
Yeah.
So he's probably used to people when they see him being like, whoa.
Cowered down on him, exactly. And I'm not a person to cower down on ever.
I mean, were you standing up or were you sitting down?
I was standing up.
And he came up to you when you were standing up like that?
No, he stepped forward towards me. And I mean, he was within the 3 feet range. So that's my personal distance. And I caught him before he caught me.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
Have I ever done anything like this before? Twice they were chokes. I had to choke somebody a couple times. And when you choke somebody unconscious, you sit them on their ass, they wake up, they don't know what's going on. That's when they stop. They usually
How do you do that?
Like I said, when I look back and forth and kind of going, is this guy real right now? Does he realize who I am? I guess I forewarned him, but to a certain extent now.
And was he by himself?
He actually was with two other guys. And when I dropped him, it was two other guys looked at me and they were like, oh shit, that's Tito Ortiz.
Well, yeah. Late with that information, dude.
What did the two other guys do?
They went to go grab him. Uh-huh. Yeah, they look at him. They went to go grab him. They went to go grab him. I literally just stood up and it's like, all right, who's next? Come on. And that's when the security came. Security.
What was your girlfriend doing? Was she like, no, no, don't do this? Was your girlfriend upset?
She was saying, fuck that motherfucker. Fuck that guy. You can just fucking touch
really?
Fuck that guy.
She wasn't like, don't do it. You can get in trouble.
No. I mean, it was already, it happened so fast. It happened within, I'd say, maybe 10 seconds, 5 seconds.
Tito, you said that you were standing up when the guy came to you and before, and then when we were talking here, you said, so you stood up.
No, I was standing up the whole time at the bar.
You sure he said that? Because I don't know that I remember that.
I kind of thought you were sitting down too, buddy.
Yeah. No, he did say he was standing up, but then when we were chit-chatting, he said,
But somebody punked me? I mean, that ain't going to happen. Hell no.
Yeah.
My words and terms is a little different. Standing up for myself.
Okay.
I'm going to stand up for this guy.
Oh, okay. You're standing up for yourself, not standing up.
Yes. I was like, wait a second. I never said I was standing up. And then I was standing up the whole time.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be fun to learn, like, oh, Tito, he's like, no, I totally punched that guy at the casino and I did not give anybody free meat. Hell no.
Yeah.
All right. If anybody is cool to move on, we'll move on. Everyone cool? All right. All right, Emma, your second story.
I'm so curious, Tito, which one is the truth and which is the lie? Okay. I almost just announced which one I was about to say too when I was about to tell the story. I was like, okay, and this one's the, and then say it. has anyone done that?
No, but we've had some people that were really bad liars. Like you just asked them one question and then they just cave.
Yeah, one question, they were done.
Okay. Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so when I was in, my memory with like timelines is just bad. It was right after college. I was dating someone that was like really into dirty talk and I didn't have a lot of experience with this at the time. And I remember, and also she was a stripper, sex worker of some sort. And so I was like, okay, she's got a lot of experiences than I do.
What kind of dirty talk are we talking? Like just,
she was into like hardcore, like S&M, like real, like hardcore dirty talk. Like I was like, okay, this is more than just like light dirty talk. Like I want to have like a whole bunch of stuff to say, but I didn't have any experience with it. So I was nervous. So I put an ad on Craigslist trying to find someone to practice dirty talking with me. So, I put an ad on Craigslist, will someone practice dirty talking with me? And I put it on Woman for Woman, but the only person who responded was like an older Indian man. And I knew that because his email was like olderindianman@gmail.com. So him and I ended up practicing sexting for like 2 years. And then we ended up being in a relationship for 4 months. And it was one of the best relationships. I mean, I'm told it was one of the best. It was not sexual, but we ended up being in like a emotional relationship for like 4 months. It was one of the best relationships of my life.
With this Indian gentleman.
Yeah.
Do you think he would say?
But I would make him use female, refer to himself in female pronouns, and we would just practice our dirty talk.
Weird.
Wait, what kind of relationship? What do you mean?
It was like an online friendship, but then we would we would like practice dirty talk and stuff. So like a impersonal, personal friendship.
Do you think he would also say it was one of the best relationships of his life, or did he not understand what was going on here? Did he hope?
I don't know. We didn't end well.
When you guys would practice dirty talk together?
Yeah.
What kind of things would he say, the old Indian guy?
So the person that I was with was more submissive. So he already was like very well versed in being very submissive. So he was always like, just like, I'm a little slut, I'm a cum toy, whatever. And then I remember where I was kind of like, ugh, was he wanted to like drink pee.
Okay. And wow. You said, you
know, I should have asked what this was rated before I told that story.
No, you're fine. You're totally fine. Okay. Were you, what? You said it didn't end well. What do you mean it didn't end well?
Did you make him drink your pee?
No, we got, you know, we became really good friends, and then he kept wanting to really be together, and I said I wouldn't leave my girlfriend, so he got pissed.
How long ago was this?
This was right when I graduated college.
I know. Well, I will say I've accepted some of these friend requests on Facebook with these Indian guys, and they've been blowing me up trying to video chat and shit, and I just won't answer it.
Well, this wasn't, to be fair to him, I had put this ad up, so he was responding to a hot lead. He wasn't just, like, messaging me out of nowhere. Like, I had put this ad on, and I did it on Craigslist, but I did it on Craigslist Women for Women, and then that's who, he was the only one who responded.
What do you think about the story, Tito?
Trying to second guess the idea of an old Indian guy and automatically knowing him as being an old Indian guy. How old was he when you guys met?
60s.
Whoa. 60s. I have a question. This whole thing started because you were dating a stripper and someone that was more experienced and someone that liked a lot of dirty talk. Did it help with that? Did the 4 months emotional relationship with the Indian guy interfere with the relationship moving forward with the strip? What happened with the stripper?
So I would say it helped in the beginning because it got my confidence up, but then it ended up getting a little bit weird because I was like getting closer. I almost like enjoyed chatting with him more than I liked like hanging out with her.
Oh.
You know, I knew I was gay throughout the whole thing, but it was very confusing. He was just a lovely conversationalist. He was very nice. He was very sweet.
Right. Well, you know, it's like when I first got divorced and I was doing online dating, and I learned very quickly you could have a relationship with someone online to try to get to know them for like 3 months, and then you meet them and you're like, I just don't think this guy's enough. Yeah, you know what I mean? So
where'd you guys meet met in person? Where'd you guys meet?
Good question.
Cheesecake Factory.
Shut up. But the original one in Boston, where was it?
The one in Cambridge in Kendall Square.
Okay.
And you said he was a really, really sweet, sweet, sweet cum dumpster.
Yeah. My sweet, sweet cum dumpster.
What kind of stuff did he order at the Cheesecake Factory? Was that kind of his jam or?
Oh man, you guys are good. Right? He would order the Oreo cheesecake.
Oh, you guys only went cheesecake, never any entree?
I think he liked something with like fried avocado.
Fried avocado?
Oh man, you guys are gonna get me on the cheesecake menu.
Well, I think what we're going to do now is we're going to have Michael do the quick recap. We'll start with Tito, and then we're going to all vote on which one is the lie. And Kenny actually chatted which one he thought was the lie. He says Tito is first lie, and really? It's true. So let's see what Michael says, and then let's all take a vote.
In Tito's first story, a guy he met on Instagram had come across some hard times with everything going on. Tito, long story short, decides to help him out. He hooks him up with some bottled water from a sponsor, with some meat, with some fish he'd caught. The guy drove up from Santa Clara to pick it up, and Tito did a good deed. Story number one. And story number two, August this year in Vegas, he's with his girlfriend at the Palms, and some guy rubs on his girl's ass, seemingly having no idea who Tito is. He gets in Tito's face. Tito's like, are we really doing this? I think I'm getting punked by Ashton. He gives him a solar plex punch, which I still don't know exactly where that is, but he goes right down like a sack of potatoes. Security gets him off. They let Tito go scot-free, even though he just assaulted a guy with a deadly weapon. I don't know about that story.
It was in Vegas, and he's huge in Vegas.
Yeah, they might have just been like, give us a couple autographs and you're out of here, dude. It's like you're famous as shit. Maybe you just don't get it. Would suck to be like a mid-level fighter who has assault with a deadly weapon style hands, but nobody knows who you are when you do it.
Yeah, right.
And they don't let you go.
I didn't understand how many tickets I got out of by doing pictures with the CHP, so I didn't get anything for that.
Yeah. And how many years ago was this? The punching the guy in the solar plex?
Just this last year in August.
Okay.
Yeah, in the summertime.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm going to go ahead and say I think that second story is a lie because when you were repeating it, I do think you said, and I stood up, and not I stood up for myself, but I stood up like I was going to get him. And I don't think you would confess on video that you beat some guy. You know, I think that's a lawsuit. So I'm going to say the second one is the lie.
Oh, I disagree, actually, because really? The first story, I think it's a lie because, Tito, you have kids, right?
Yes, I do.
Right? He has kids, so why is he going to risk getting the coronavirus by meeting this guy for some fish and some meat?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Tell us the how did you guys do the hand sanitizer? Tell us about that. Like, how did you meet? How far did you step away? Did you put the meat down and step back and have it? Like, how did you do that?
We're at the place we met, like, say, Rack House by my house. I gave him knuckles. And I actually gave him a cooler with the meat and the fish and the beans that are in it. I gave it to him. And then the bottle of water, I gave to his kid, and they carried it off, hopped in their, Tahoe, and I drove away. I said, thank you very much. And then later on, he messaged me, and he said, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. Not many people would do that.
Did you worry about that?
Worry about what?
Like the coronavirus exposure shit with a stranger.
Not really, because I have a really huge immune system. I mean, immune system really strong. I mean, I eat vitamin C a lot. And, I have a little bit of cold right now anyway, so I'm not really, I don't know. I'm a healthy guy. Very, very healthy. Okay.
Yeah. All right, let's take a vote. Jessica, what do you say?
Say that the fish is a lie. Smells fishy.
Yeah.
Yeah, what if that's the lie? He's like, I would never fish in my life. I'm a pro fighter. That's boring as shit.
Yeah, Kenny says the first one is a lie. He says the first one is a lie. Wow. All right. Emma, what do you think?
Okay, I think that's a really good point about the corona, but I think the first one is the truth and the second one is the lie, because the first one seems more like unexpected. I don't know. I'm dying. Which one is it?
But Humbert also says that the first one is the truth, right? The second one is the lie. Yeah. All right. So Tito, which one is the lie?
The one that is the lie. So I was in Las Vegas.
Oh, no.
I was at the bar.
No!
Someone did come up to me, but I did put my hand on him. I know better than that. I would never
like a person
ever. First one's the truth. First one's the truth. I did help a guy out today. Like I say, I love to pay it forward. I do it all the time. Just a couple weeks ago, I did once again. I paid for a guy's his groceries. They were like $60, I think it was. And I went out of my way to help him out.
Awesome.
You know what they say, man? You got to be a good person. You know, don't expect things back, but do things to help people out, especially these crucial times right now. And I love to pay it forward, man. I told my kids about it. They didn't come with me, but I told them about it. They're like, wow, Dad, that's really cool. So they always know to give back and be decent human beings in society now. So I'm trying to do the right thing.
Oh, cool. All right.
You're such a sweet, sweet cum dumpster.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Jessica. All right, Michael, move on to Jesus.
Yeah, just popping off.
You know what's funny is she could call me cum dumpster all day long. I'd be like, whatever. But now I'm all like, don't call Tito cum dumpster.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
My cut out, but I think I got the gist of that.
Yeah. I'll never forget what just happened. So Emma, in her Emma's first story, yeah, Emma grew up in rural Maine. She always wanted to work in the music industry. And when she was like, going into high school, she got a chance to work at Waltz Audio, where she mostly fetched snacks and blunt wraps and shit. But Waltz Audio, big claim to fame was that Bobby Brown recorded there, but hardly ever. Long story short, she's at a Blockbuster and they're hassling her about some DVDs that Bobby Brown had gotten away with. And now they wanted the label to pay for them, and you guys had to pay for them, and late fees were brutal. And I think that's actually the meat and potatoes of the story. That's where my notes end, right? Everything after that was us discussing it.
All right, in the second story?
In your second story, right after college, you were dating a stripper, a dirty talker, more experienced, actually. She was into S&M and shit, and you wanted to feel like you were keeping up. It was fucking with your ego, so you put an ad out. And you practice sexting with an Indian man for months. And he said things like drink pee and fuck toy. And you guys had an emotional relationship after that for about 4 months. And at times you felt emotionally absent in your original existing relationship because you were having a better time talking to the Indian guy. And you guys went to Cheesecake Factory a lot and he likes fried avocado.
Emma, you're a really fucked up person.
I know.
No, she's just confused. That's all. It's okay.
I appreciate it. Yeah. All
right. You think the first one is the lie, Kenny? You think the first one is the lie? Yeah. Well, that's the thing. It's hard. It's so what you're saying is that your mother took a 13-year-old girl to Boston to work at a record label, or you got
it was a recording studio, so it was like a small, it was a very small operation.
Uh-huh. So I have to either believe that or believe that you got some old Indian guy to talk dirty to you while you were in a lesbian relationship. I mean,
can I ask one question about it?
Please do.
Anything.
The Indian guy have to pay you any money?
No.
No.
I asked him. I put the ad up. I was the one. I was the instigator. I would have been the one that was paying that him.
All right.
He was helping me out.
Any other questions on those two crazy stories? Anybody?
Good question, though.
It's kind of weird to pull Bobby Brown out of nowhere, isn't it?
I mean, in the cement shoes when she said that, like, who says that, Bobby Brown? Like, yeah.
I mean, about Whitney? I mean, but aren't they, like, stupid rich? Why would they want to pay their bills? I mean, that's what I don't get.
Yeah,
but that's, I could see Bobby Brown just being that type of person that's like, I'm just not paying it. It's just because, like, out of, I don't know, because what he thinks is right or some shit, you know?
Right. So you believe that a mother would take a 13-year-old girl to a recording studio in Boston when you live in a...
And I have a good mom, too. This isn't like a sad thing.
No, I'm not saying not it's the, a sad thing.
My mom let me bring home skinheads to party with.
Hey, those were good guys.
It looked a lot like you, Michael.
Yeah, that's my tribe on accident. Hey... Do you guys remember what Emma said when she first got into the chat? She goes, what if my lie is mostly true, but with one little fudge?
Yeah,
maybe.
Damn, so
maybe,
I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, you shouldn't have, but here we go, huh? So check it out. What if that second story, well, I don't know, because now they both feel like they could be true, but the second story is just like, nah, the guy was Ethiopian or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. But
it was Laotian.
It could be that she took that story from someone else, too, that the simple lie is just it didn't happen to her, too. So, yeah.
Or they met at the Outback.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards that the first one about Bobby Brown is a lie. I think she probably pulled that from somebody that she knows. That, to me, sounds more like a story she could pull from somebody else.
Yeah. God, Kenny thinks the second story is true, right, Kenny? Yeah.
I'm torn.
Yeah, I know. All right. And Tito, what is your answer? You think which is the lie?
I think the lie is the second one. I think the lie is the second one. I think the first one's true.
You do?
Yeah.
That does seem
like... Just because you said she had a relationship with a guy after she met him for 4 months, and the guy was 60 years old, so... And she likes girls, so that didn't make any sense either.
That just doesn't add up.
No, it don't add up.
Tito can't even imagine dirty talking with someone he met online. He just gives them food. He's on the other end of
the spectrum. Exactly, right?
Yeah, I'm going to go with you. I think the second one is the lie. I think the second one, even though I'm going against myself with the mom thing, I'm going to say the second one is the lie. All right, what about you, Mama Bird? We'll throw it in. The first one is the lie? Yeah. All right. Everyone voted?
We're voted.
All right. Emma, which...
Okay, so the first one was true. The second one was true up to the point I never met the guy. So I put this ad online and we practiced dirty talking, but it went on for like one day. And then I was like, this is crazy. And I stopped. But I remember he wanted to meet up and get cheesecake. But that's where it...
Wow. See, you would have had me right there. You would have had me right there. But when you said he was 6 feet and then you guys hung out for 4 months, that's what he missed
up. I don't know how old he was. Yeah.
So the first one is completely true?
The first one's true. I apologize. I think that I think I must have been a little bit, I think I did it for a couple weeks going into high school, and then I did it again in high school, and I did it again in college. It wasn't a good internship. It was this tiny recording studio in Boston. Like, a lot of college students would intern there. I remember, you remember the singer JoJo? She sang Leave, Get Out.
Yeah, one hit wonder. She's like
from
13.
Foxborough, Mass, and she used to go in there too. I never met her either. I never met any of the. I met like mostly like students or local Boston people, and I would just like run errands for them.
Wow!
And Bobby and his crew took a bunch of Blockbuster DVDs. They like, and then I had to go to Blockbuster and try to explain what happened.
That's when the guys on the East Coast try to be gangsters.
Yeah, right.
Thank you guys so much for taking time out of your day. Hope everyone is
healthy. Yeah, that was fun. Thank you.
Things are going good. Thank you, Kenny. Thank you, Mama Bird. Thank you so much, Emma. And thank you, Tito. We appreciate that you did this for us. And anything you want to add on?
No, thank you. Everybody wash their hands and everybody stay indoors. Stop going outdoors.
Yeah, wash your
hands. At least
if you're
in California and New York and so forth. Stay indoors. It's only 14 Please. Days. You can hang out.
And keep your hands off Tito's girlfriend's ass.
Yeah. People already know that. That's an automatic. So
she has such pretty eyes, though. If you ever, you'll get lost in them.
Right.
Jesus, Jessica.
I almost had to beat her down one night. She was like hitting on my girlfriend. I was like, stop it.
Yeah, she's like, get out of here, cum dump.
All right, you guys have been so
Thank
awesome.
You, guys.
Is there anything you want to shout out? I mean, everyone's kind of frozen in time right now, but is there anything anyone wants to shout out?
Like your social media or anything?
I post on Instagram.
Yep.
Sorry, you go.
Tito Ortiz, 1999 on Instagram.
All right. Thank you guys so very much. And Jessica?
And you have been lied to.
When I'm home, I don't want to run errands or have to figure out a meal plan, especially because I have kids. That's why Blue Apron is a great solution. Their chef-designed recipes are easy to follow and give you a balanced, delicious meal. Blue Apron is a quick and easy way to make high-quality meals that everyone can enjoy. Use promo code LIARS to get $30 off your first order. Blue Apron, take back dinner.
I'm not telling that
one. Disney believe you.
Will the real liar please stand up?
What? She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.